Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent internet radio station, available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, August 11th, 2011. It is now 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our freedom, our life, starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, I know it's early in the morning for most of you, or many of you, I should say. We do invite you to call toll-free 888-773-4496. That's 888-773-4496. If you're on a cell phone, you can use the direct number if you're accustomed to doing so. We still have the number for Blog Talk Radio, which is the call-in number. We use their board, 646-652-4620. I'll repeat that, 646-652-4620. So many of you have been calling on a cell phone, and you probably have that plugged in. That number is still good. You can send us email at any time, and we do welcome your email. It's been kind of light lately. Love to hear from you. Our email address is simple. It's comments@libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, sutton-associates.net, and that's at sutton-associates.net. In his newsletters, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. Folks, needless to say, these are such tumultuous times. We need to get an understanding from someone who is honest, knows what the heck he's talking about, is direct, and can convey that information, I say elucidate that information, you know, in a manner in which people like me can understand it. And do go to Andy Sutton's website. Even if he had a website at one time, I'm not sure if that one's still live. It's called My Two Cents Online. Excellent newsletters, keeps you up to date. They're not very, very long, but they're fascinating. They're very interesting, and it'll give you a flavor. You're not going to change your life when you do that. No news, but it will give you food for thought, as this program is, hopefully. And by doing so, you know, it'll sink in, and after a while, you'll understand. It'll provide you with direction. And there's a difference. It'll provide you with direction. And this is what we're looking for. Not a specific thing to do, but a direction to go. The big problem that I see with most people today is that they have no sense of direction. Absolutely none. I mean, they're wavering back and forth. Well, things are good. Things are bad. Well, it looks like things are getting better. They have no comprehension. And that is a product, as I've been screaming now for over 5 years, of our school system, our entire society, and what we consider to be important, you know, for our lives. Right. Enough of that preaching. But do go to Andy Sutton's website. And you can subscribe to a free service, and then he has a online a paid service, very inexpensive. You can actually call him and ask him questions about your stock portfolio. You don't have to buy anything from him. It's terrific. Also, just want to remind everyone that Liberty Talk Radio is now available via iTunes and Twitter. And Twitter, it's at Liberty Joe, by the way. Twitter, it's at Liberty Joe. So, you know, we're available, getting available everywhere. I know before I had been asking, I've been advising everyone that we're considering doing a audio broadcast. And I had also admitted that I have been just reluctant to do so because I don't like to look at myself. I guess everyone feels the same way. I think I need to get over that. I may be building a new studio in which we'll have a professional backdrop, and we'll expand the entire Liberty Talk Radio program. I'd love to hear from you guys. I need feedback. You know, even if you say, Joe, give up the ghost. Enough is enough. I've had it with you. You know, you're worthless. You know, anything, you know. I do get letters of encouragement from time to time, and they are absolutely terrific. I mean, they almost make me cry. And I won't read them because they're embarrassing to me because they're so complimentary. Now, I know I'm not great in a whole bit and the panacea of talk radio, but it's awfully nice to get a compliment once in a while. That's not to say, folks, that is really not to say that I do not want to hear criticism. In fact, I crave criticism and disagreement because this is what the program's about, so we can start understanding one another. I'm the guy talking out. You can say, oh, but he's all wrong. Well, if I'm all wrong, would you please tell me that I'm all wrong and we can start a dialogue, at least get an understanding. I promise I'm not going to diss you or, you know, be disrespectful or anything like that. But I would like to hear from you. Right? Lastly, I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Just let me take a second. You know, I wish this thing was just a lot more professional in that all I had to do is worry about the actual broadcast. But unfortunately, I'm a solo here in the morning, and all the stuff that's going on, those screens, I got three screens up, is in front of me, and I have to make certain that everything is operating. If there's just one thing slightly out of whack, nothing happens, and I probably won't even know it, you know? And I just wish I had a technical person. Rush Limbaugh, when he comes in the morning, I'm sure he doesn't worry about, geez, I wonder if the mic is on. You know, that's what I have to worry about, and it's, I don't like it. I would love to have a more professional setup. That being said, I have been listening to talk programs. Many of them are excellent. Many of them really should get off the air. And I say that not in a snobby way or this condescending way. But there are too many programs and too many people broadcasting over the internet today, and it waters everything down. Those people who do not have a message cannot or have difficulty conveying the message really should do something else. Write a book. I've listened to some, and some are excellent. For example, one that I listen to on a regular basis is King World News. And, you know, they have the Jim Ricketts, you know, the Gerald Salentes, the Peter Schiffs, and they are excellent amongst many, many, many others, Mark Farber. You know, that's a real professional one, and he gets the top people around the world on his program. I'm not of that caliber. Wish I was. Now, he doesn't participate. He just introduces, and they go on for 20 minutes to, you know, an hour. But this program, I'm disseminating the information, and I do hope what the way I'm conveying it is of interest and sounds somewhat professional. Unfortunately, I don't know that. I don't know whether or not I sound like a goofball, unprofessional, like a typical internet talk show program where someone's just saying, hey, man, Bobby, how you doing? Yeah, and you see what the president said yesterday? Isn't that stupid? You know, all that dumb stuff. And I hope I'm not in that league. If I am in that league, from your perspective, I need to shut the whole thing down. Now, when I listen to them, and I don't listen to my own broadcast because I hate to listen to my own voice, I don't think I'm in that ballpark, but I don't know. Now, if I ask my wife, what do you think she'll say? Oh, no, honey, you're the most wonderful person. Oh, you're wonderful, you know. And maybe she's right, you know, and she loves me and I love her and, you know, she's supportive. And I think that's fabulous because without her and her encouragement, there's a lot of things I wouldn't do. And I'm a very fortunate person that way, in that regard. I'm more saying this only because I've been doing this for over 5 years now. And I think I need to make some decisions as to where I'm going. As many little kids say, when you ask them, how old are you? They say, 3 and a half. You know, I love them when they always say a half. I don't know why. 3 and a half. Well, I'm 68 and a half years old. And I'd love to believe that I have another 50 or 60 years ahead of me. Don't think so. You know, I hope they come out with a pill and I can keep on going and still think like a 15-year-old, which I think I am. My body tells me, no, you're not. But, you know, as you get older, you look at life differently. And the way I'm looking at it now is that you realize the only things that are important in life, the only things that are important in life are those things that we would consider intangibles. For example, having a good, reliable friend, someone you can really trust, and if you need something, they are happy to be there. They want to be there. You know, I've often, before I get on my program, let me rant on something. I'm going to tell you a lot of personal things. First of all, you ever notice that when they interview billionaires, I'm not talking just rich people, but billionaires, they find themselves to be very lonely. They are, they're America's poverty. You say, how could that be? Well, because they really have a difficult time separating people who are trying to take advantage of them and their true friends. And they admit they don't have many true friends. Because they don't, everyone is around them. They have so many people around them. Why? Because they're billionaires. I mean, no, everyone, oh, yes, sir, yes, no, yes, sir, you know. They have houses all over the world. And they find themselves to be incredibly lonely. Many of them wind up going to psychiatrists for counseling, for, you know, psychological evaluations. You know, and I often wonder if they're not really the poor. Where the poor, as we define it money monetarily wise, you know, have family and friends, good friends, and they have to be the rich people in life. I know it sounds crazy, but I know it. I know. Don't yell too much yet, though, especially you, the progressive group out there. Don't get too excited. But let me give you an idea. I have been going through a lot of physical problems lately. I had a reconstruction of my shoulder. I don't think I'd ever do that again. I'm still in a sling. I took it off for the broadcast, but I'm going to be in a sling for 4 weeks. I got a week and a half to go. I can't wait to get rid of that sucker. I have to go to therapy for 6 months. I mean, this is heavy-duty stuff. Incredibly painful. Don't know if I would bother. I would have limited use of the arm rather than go through this again. I mean that. It's been that bad. And I've had a host of small issues, and some of which they can't find anything wrong with me. Yesterday, I was convinced my gallbladder was bad. Absolutely convinced. They went through every test. They said, it's got to be a gallbladder. So I agree. I've been telling you that all along. Got a bad gallbladder. That's why I feel the way I do. No problem. I can put money on it. I go for this really extensive test with a dye system, and they radiate it and all that stuff. You know, they put you in machines. I say, oh, they're going to find out everything. Now, the technician did one thing. He can't tell you. He cannot tell you, you know, cannot diagnose. But he says, here's an example of a healthy, after the test, here's a definition of a healthy gallbladder. Look at it, and he shows us one picture, then another picture, then it working, and then this happens, and then it contracts and expands and this and that. I said, wow, that's neat. He says, nice and clear, beautiful, you know. I said, good. I said, now, how does that compare against mine? Now, he can't say that. He can't say that's mine. He says, well, that is yours, you know. So what he was saying basically is that I have a healthy gallbladder. And for my age to have a perfectly healthy gallbladder, that's pretty good. But I'm just saying that I've been going through a lot of tests to find out, you know, why sometimes I just don't feel well and haven't found anything. And I think that's good news and that's bad news. But I want to continue this program. I do. But I want to make sure it's of value. I really want to make sure that people listen and say, hey, I enjoy that. I would prefer that you broadcast rather than get off the air. I want to be an added value. I want to be like your best friend. I have friends that I would not give up for the world. And it's unfortunate that you can't get family usually to be that way, but, you know, but friends. Now, my sons are that way with me. They're like good friends. I almost consider my sons more friends than they are family. And I'm blessed with that. That's fantastic. I'm not blessed with that. That's a stupid word. That's stupid. You know, I worked for that. I worked hard for that environment. Not blessed. I worked hard for that environment. Maybe a little luck, too. But I want to make certain that when people are listening to this program, they go, oh, another internet program, another crackpot, you know, sounds like everybody else. I will get off the air. I mean, this has worked for me. I enjoy doing it. Now, believe it or not, I do not particularly relish interviewing people. except for one, Andy Sutton. I think he's fantastic. And the reason for that is that I never know how the person is going to work out unless I know the person. And so many times I interview someone, it's just difficult. I mean, I'm sweating on this side. I said, no one's going to listen to this. And I have no control over that. No, I don't have a staff of people that interview people before they get on, the people with long histories that I have heard 1,000 times before. So I don't know. What I enjoy doing is I enjoy ranting. I mean, I can't rant to people. Understand, I used to, when I was younger, thought that everyone wanted to hear what I had to say. It was important. It was imperative that everyone hear, because what I had to say was that important, because I was an important person. You realize you're not. And so, you know, anybody who had 1 or 2 ears, I would preach to. Guess what? I turned them off. They weren't listening. I couldn't believe it. And you realize that you can't preach to people. However, if you have a radio station and you really feel passionate about what you are saying, not saying that you're right, you're not even sure if you're right, but you feel passionate about it because it makes sense. In this world where nothing makes sense, it makes sense that you can articulate, elucidate what you are saying, what your passion is, what you feel is necessary to make this life a better life for yourself and everybody else around you. You want to be on the, you want to rant, and that's what I do. But if it doesn't come across that way, if it comes across like, hey, man, you know, the government really sucks, man, you know, and yeah, hey, Bobby, what do you, if it's coming across like that, please tell me. Because believe me, I'll be the first one to shut down. This ain't easy. Believe me, it's not easy. And especially when you have health problems and you're 68 and a half years old, it doesn't become any easier. Now, a reason why I broadcast 6:30 in the morning is because that's when I'm on a roll. I'm so busy during the day, by the end of the day, in the evening, for example, there's so many things that occurred, my mind wants to rest. It wants to reorganize. It wants to reorganize all my thoughts, you know, recategorize everything. In the process of doing that, it's difficult for me to rant. When I say rant, you know, talk about a subject, because it's tiring. I've done so many things during the day. It's not time to gear up. And everyone, I've got criticisms, a lot of criticisms. Why you broadcast 6:30 in the morning? Because that's the first thing that I do, and I'm not, my mind is not cluttered with all the things, everything from doing the white laundry, you know, to, you know, going to the store, to doing, make sure payroll's being done, answering the phone 5,000 times on 500 subjects. You know, by the end of the day, my mind is just, it's just not there. The only thing on my mind when I first wake up is the program. And so it's easier for me to speak. All right, that's enough. I've been on here for almost 20 minutes so far. Just let me see if our station identification is working.
You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure libertarian talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
You know, that's a real nice one. Actually, my son had that voiceover professionally done for me, and they've been really supportive. In fact, they forced me to do this 5 years ago. Just 1 second, please. Anyway, before I get to anything else, now that I ranted about myself, but I the reason why I did that is I have been listening in my recovery to talk programs. And some were very, very good, and some really needed to be reevaluated. It's not my decision whether or not they be on the air, but some of them really need to really reflect and say, is this what I was meant to do? Now, I'll be honest with you. The way I feel, this is what I was meant to do. If I had to do it all over again, I would be one of two professions. A radio talk show host, and I would start when I was very young. When I was 16 years old, I would start. But, you know, I didn't know anything then. That's the problem. You know, or I would be one of these investment advisors that you see on CNBC News. You say, well, why that? Well, of course, they can say anything that they want. It makes no sense. It's fine. And if they're absolutely wrong, they get invited back anyway, and they get paid big bucks. I always had a job where I had to be accurate, and if I disseminated information that was slightly inaccurate, I can, you know, I lost a customer, can get sued or go to jail. I had to always be accurate. These clowns get on there, say, oh, yeah, blah, 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 blah. They go on. Everything's the exact opposite, and they get invited back like they're professionals. I said, well, what a great job. You don't have to be right. You can say anything you want. Don't have to answer the question, really. And they invite you back, and you make big bucks. Man, what a great thing. And you don't have to, and you don't have to lift anything heavier than a pen. I love that. Anyway, a few weeks ago, I spoke about Walmart. I want to talk about manufacturing today. And I want to talk not only about manufacturing. One last thing. I hope that you take this program very personally. I hope you find it personal and you take it personally. I don't want you to feel like you're just listening to a voice. Words mean nothing. It's the meaning behind the words. It's the inflection behind the words. It's like in poetry, a sonnet is not a sonic, unless it's expressed properly, the timing, everything. And I hope I at least achieve that. And by listening to this program, even if you listen for a short period of time, if it angers you, please tell me. That's all I ask you to do. In fact, if anyone would write to me and give me a critique, I will send you free of charge a Liberty Talk Radio t-shirt. And they're really nice. Shipping it all. If you don't like it, you can give it away. I don't care. And you don't have to wear it 24 hours a day. I was complimented so much. A guy sent me an email. He said he received his Liberty Talk Radio t-shirt. And he was, this was in California. And he said he was at a mall. And he saw another guy wearing one. I thought that was great. I said, I've made it. That was a couple of years ago. That was great. Right. We're going to talk a little bit about manufacturing now. Now, a problem is that we're listening to people on television. Now, some are very good and disseminate some good information, but they never get down to the core problem. You know, look what's happening with the debt crisis. They get mad. I mean, I've heard some guys really rant about how bad things are, and you say, this guy's got it. This guy understands. And then they ask, what are your solution? It's blah, blah garbage. Well, we should be more firm and compromise and understand. And no, wait a minute. No. Be specific. I mean, if I was on TV and I was caught off guard, I mean, I haven't prepared any speech on this or anything like that. I didn't give it any thought other than casual thought as everyone else has. If they say, well, Cristiano, Liberty Talk Radio talk show host, how would you solve the debt crisis? Oh, before I do that, let me backtrack. Please, our toll-free number is 888. I want to hear from you. 888-773-4496. That's 888-773-4496. If you're accustomed to calling the Blog Talk Radio number, we still have that. It's 646-652-4620. I forgot to mention that during the break. Please call in. All the lines are open. There's no one on the line at all. Our email address, please let me hear from you, is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Where was I? I forgot where I was. I should not have interrupted myself. Anyway, I totally lost my train of thought. Isn't that horrible? Anyway, today we're going to talk a little bit about manufacturing and jobs. I was talking about, we don't hear on television what we have to hear. We don't hear a true analysis. If someone asks me, well, how would you reduce the deficit? I'd say, fine. First thing we do is we totally discontinue and dismantle the empire immediately on day one. Don't wait till tomorrow. Just tell all the generals, pack everything up, come home. Everyone on foreign soil comes home. Number one, everyone. I'm talking about Korea. I'm talking about Japan. I'm talking about all these stealth bases. Everybody comes home. Now, the problem is that even as big as the invest, American West is, you know, out in Nevada and that area, I don't think we can fit everybody. But everybody comes home. yeah, Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq rather, you know, drones, all the drones get popped, everything, right? Immediately, we will save over $1 trillion. No one says that. I mean, and all we would do is convert all of our offensive equipment to defensive equipment and cut our military by about $1 trillion a year. And the medical costs would go down, et cetera, and everything else that's a long term. Oh, the aircraft carriers, park them, sell them. You know, garage sale, aircraft carrier, cheap, $400 billion, today only. All the ships, park them. We don't need ships. What do you need ships for? The only reason why you need ships is to support the aircraft carriers. Everything comes home. So if they ask me, that's the first thing I would do. Secondly, dismantle, totally dismantle, and tell everyone, sorry, you're out of a job, and don't pay for the rest, or don't give them a pension for the rest of their lives. You know, your pay has now stopped. Department of Defense, Department of Education, Department of Energy. Those three out the window. And all of the ancillary departments that we make for the this and that and this and that, gone. The next thing, all foreign aid, gone, stopped, zero. How much did I save so far? About $1.5 trillion. About, maybe $2 trillion a year. Immediately. Do I have a deficit? No more deficit. And as far as Medicare, Medicaid is concerned, no problem. I mean, there's nothing so horrible that right now when you go to the doctor, there's nothing so it's not horrible. It says if you go to the doctor, you have a copay of $25 or something like that. I mean, not a $1 million. You go to a specialist that's going to charge Medicare, you know, $3,000, $4,000, $10,000 for a procedure. You can pay $25 visit. So everyone pays $25 up front or something like that. How much you save? Well, you're going to save billions of dollars right there. Social Security, you know, hey, don't touch the Social Security. I'm not Social Security. I don't need it. But yeah, don't touch it. Hey, people paid into it. That was their retirement. Don't screw with it. You say, well, it wasn't really a promise. Don't give me that garbage. No, that was, here's your retirement. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Goodbye, you know? Now, you may not have enough money for the cost of living, but tell people, this is not your retirement. This is just enough money for food. And stop fooling people politically. And that's it. So I risk my case. I can do $1.5 trillion in 1 month. And the problem is these bums, they all of them, every one of them, you know, talk about, well, we can reduce the number of people in the department of blah, blah, and by 2017. Oh, what garbage. Absolute garbage. And they won't answer the question. All right, now, manufacturing. Well, first, talking about manufacturing, I had a broadcast that was entitled Walmart, bad Walmart, you know, like, you know, dog, bad doggy, bad, you know. And I talked about, you know, Walmart's not all that bad. And my point being there is that I wasn't talking about Walmart being a wonderful company. I was talking from a marketing point of view, you know, from a sales point of view, contribution to an area. Where everyone felt Walmart comes in, destroys an area. And I took exception to that. Well, I received a couple of emails. I love I got emails. A couple of emails said, do you know that they engage in what is known as dead peasant insurance? I said, well, I didn't know that. Never heard of it before. Never heard of it. So he said, well, I said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to write Walmart. But before I do that, you know what I'm going to do is just break for station identification, take a squig of water, coffee, okay? Hold on.
You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure libertarian talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
All right, we have a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the air. Oh, you know, caller, I'm sorry. Stay where you are. I apologize. You did not press the one button, so I should not have cut you in. So I wrote them a letter, and I want to read you the letter that I wrote them. This is on Liberty Talk Radio letterhead. It goes like this. Attention, Walmart home office in Bentonville, attention customer relations. a recent live broadcast in which I was defending Walmart's position in the marketplace solicited several responses centered on Walmart's policy of dead peasant insurance, quote unquote. Several websites seem to confirm this practice, that is, taking life insurance policy out on rank and file employees, but apparently without their knowledge or consent. I also understand that these insurance policies allegedly stay in effect after employment is terminated. Mentioned was the fact that although this practice appears immoral, it is not illegal and is practiced by an untold number of corporations, Walt Disney apparently being one. I promised my listeners that I would contact you for a better understanding of whether or why this policy is in effect. Sincerely, Joe Cristiano, talk show host, Liberty Talk Radio. Now, here's the response. Here's the sucky response that I get. First of all, it's a form, damn form letter, and it's not written by anyone who even, you can tell the few things that they did write, like the zip code, looks like this person never took penmanship in grammar school, right? They say, look, and they didn't write it to Liberty Talk Radio, by the way. They sent it to Joe Cristiano, which I thought was interesting, at the Liberty Talk Radio address of 8177 South Harvard, Suite 310. Right? Dear Mr. Cristiano, from December 1993 to January 2000, Walmart was one of many U.S. corporations that participated in a program called Corporate-Owned Life Insurance, or COLI, C-O-L-I, COLI, I guess, for short. Corporate-owned life insurance policies were products offered by life insurance companies. They were common and well-intended. Well, what the hell is that supposed to mean? What the hell is that supposed to mean? They were common and well-intended. What the hell? Are you, I mean, it's like my wife finding me in bed with another woman and say, honey, you have to understand, this is all well-intended. They drive you nuts. In 1996, Congress passed legislation that limited the tax-related benefits of the program. As a result, Walmart began to significantly reduce its participation in the program, and no new COLI, C-O-L-I program policies were purchased after 1995. Well, to me, that's a condemnation. They're admitting how terrible the whole damn thing is. And that is horrible. It's a horrible letter. It didn't answer any questions. So my professional opinion of Walmart is now, it wasn't all that high. I mean, it was high because they were a large corporation. You know, my opinion of them has really sunk down pretty damn low. So I'm with you. You know, they have some nerve, absolutely some nerve. Okay, now, manufacturing. Boy, we only have about 10 minutes. You know, we keep on saying we want jobs back, we want jobs back. Understand a few things. First of all, we say we outsource everything to China because the labor is cheap. And labor is cheap. It's only, their labor is something like 7% of our labor. However, in making the decision of whether or not to go overseas, labor is not the major consideration. It's everything else. You know, it's really the cost of production. You know, what if it cost $20 to make a certain thing here, right, and labor was a significant portion of it, or it cost $24 to be made overseas, of which labor was a very small portion. It doesn't make any sense. But if, in fact, we account for 20% of all the production in the world. I mean, isn't that amazing? 20% of the world. We are still incredibly efficient. And we don't send them overseas simply because of that. But there are many other reasons why we do. I mean, just think, if you had a plant that required a lot of physical labor, in other words, for example, let's take making garments or dresses or gloves or whatever. Right? The continent that's trying to achieve some status in that arena is Africa. No, we can't compete with Africa, but the only reason why we would produce it here is maybe there's better quality control, you know, but we're much more productive. And in other words, not more productive because our employees work 10 times faster than the people in Africa work, but because we have the technology that we use here that makes it more productive. So we can make, a dozen gloves in 5 minutes, but it takes them a dozen gloves takes 2 hours, you know, whatever. You know, in other words, our productivity, we have the highest productivity in the world. And technologically, we're the most advanced manufacturing country in the world. Understand that. So we're not going overseas for that reason. Now, we will go overseas for other reasons. And you know what they are. I mean, come on, if you're listening to this program, you damn well know what they are. And some of those things have to include, you know, if you're going to open up a plant somewhere, and that state has a very, very, very strong, strict union base, and supports a certain union contracts or paradigms or whatever, you know, and you open that plant, and basically the union comes in and is going to tell you how you're going to run your plant. Now, I'm not anti-union, folks. I'm not anti-union. Understand that. I'm anti-bad management. The only thing I'm against is anti-bad management, because if you had good management, the unions would be unnecessary and the employees would be better off. So I'm not anti-employee. I'm anti something wasteful that's unnecessary, absolutely unnecessary, provided that you had a company that was honest, and they're not. And they weren't back then, and I don't think they still are. They're still, they mouth a lot of crap, but they don't walk the walk and all that other good stuff. So if you're going to go to that state and basically a strong union, and you got to have a strong union, you have to have a union, it's going to be a strong union, and they're basically going to tell you how you're going to manufacture whatever it is, you're not going to choose that state. Or if those taxes or those regulations or the EPA or the OSHA or what you name it, the regulations are so strangling in what you make, you will go overseas. Now, much of that has to do with government-imposed regulations. So we say, look at the sucking sound. Well, the sucking sound is there only because we can have something made a lot faster and a lot more economical. But keep this in mind. Although that if we send something to China, what we have to do is we have a long a lag time. You know, you can't say, I need a dozen widgets, call China, and it'll be right there. No, you need 6 months, a year and a half, depending on what you're producing, from the time you place the order and it gets here. However, if it's manufactured here in the United States, you say, well, you know, I needed a 1,000 widgets. I realize I really should have ordered 1,200. You can call that factory and say, how soon can you get me another 200? Well, you know, depending on what it is, they can get it to you pretty quick. Sometimes they may even have it in storage. You know, they have an overrun, and they'll just ship you the next day. So there are advantages. The advantage of manufacturers coming back. In fact, I read in the American Institute of Economic Research that Mars Chocolate North America announced that it will open its first New York U.S. factory in 35 years. The 250 million chocolate factory in Topeka, Kansas will create at least $400 for local residents. In 2010, in fact, U.S. manufacturing added jobs for the first time since 1997. The 136,000 new jobs represent 1.2% increase from 2009. But understand that it's not only the cost of salary. There's a host of things. It has to do with quality control, lag time, skilled labor. The problem with going overseas is either they do not have the skilled labor or they do not have the facilities. For example, a lot of things can be manufactured in Vietnam very, very in a quality manner, but they do not have the facilities for it. I mean, they don't have the infrastructure to support it, a large factory. Oh, you can make small things, but not big things. You know, you can't have a big Caterpillar tractor in the middle of Vietnam. There's nothing to support it. There's no electricity, for example. In China, they built the infrastructure, but what they didn't do is they don't have enough people with the skills to do many of these jobs. Now, the really low skill jobs like, sewing things and stuff like that, that's just route type of things that take human intervention, they do very well and will never compete, just like they can do that in Africa. And Africa is starting to come up also. Africa is the sort of the Middle East of the future type, the Far East of the future. Yeah? They're not coming back. Now, another thing is, China recently opened a big factory. It was a high-tech factory, and they needed 3,000 employees, only 100 qualified. So you see, there are problems there. Now, and it's also the cost of the currency. For example, in China, you have, with the Chinese yen being depreciated against the U.S. dollar, and the U.S. dollar is sinking, folks, really sinking, you'll find that it's getting more expensive. So their salaries actually have increased like 73% in the past few years, where ours has only increased something like, three and a half percent. And the same time period, I forgot what the time period was, where our salaries increased, cost of labor increased only 3.5%. Theirs increased like 70%. So their cost of labor is going up, right? Their cheap dollar is starting to get really shaky, so they may have to do something about that. And then another thing is shipping cost. When the price of fuel goes up, the containers that they put it on to get over here start costing a lot of money, lots and lots of money. So you can find it's not going to be, so much that it's buy American, the politicians will take credit for it. It may be just because it becomes prohibitively costly to ship something from China. So, you have all of these factors. Now, the big problem, I'm going to wrap this up, and this is not everything I want to say, because I yapped so much during the first part of this program that what I did, I screwed up. I didn't leave myself enough time. I lose my bandwidth in about 3 minutes. Is that the problem that we have? You say, well, you're saying manufacturing is up, productivity is up, and all this. Where are the jobs? Well, there ain't no jobs. There just ain't no jobs here. And the government can't make jobs. You can't manufacture something, just do something and then pay something salary. Well, it's like just make something, go out in the middle of the ocean, dump it in the ocean, come back and make more. I mean, someone's doing something, you're paying salary. But what does that do? I mean, it destroys an economy. And that's what the government's been doing, destroying an economy. The reason why we do not have jobs here in the United States is very simple. Is that we have become so productive. When I say productive, I don't mean so fast. People are working, twice as fast behind a machine. Is that we are using technology more intelligently and more efficiently than anybody else in the world. And one of the reasons for that is less, not lack of, but less government restrictions that they have, like, for example, in Europe. But we're catching up to Europe, whereby we're not going to be able to use this technology because there's going to be a law against it. So we can create jobs. Danger, really a danger there, folks. So when we have a factory, we don't need people. Because instead of having, let's say, 200 people, and I'll give you an example, that there was a brick company that my company does business with. If you go there, you see these gigantic robots. I mean, they look like Transformers, those things that kids play with. They look like those gigantic. They're like 30 feet high. They're making bricks. They look arms. They look like people. And they have like six of them, and each one of them have like a name. They call one Betsy, one Sally, things like that, Clarabelle. And these things are going all the time, and they're phenomenal. Well, before they probably had, dozens and dozens of employees doing that work of these machines that go 24 hours a day. Well, the argument there is that, well, you're going to need people to make the technology. Ha-ha, contraire, Pierre, as they say. You know why? Because today, technology is creating the technology or manufacturing the technology. So there are no jobs. So we have to upgrade ourselves. People can't sit around on unemployment or whatever it is. Sit around. They have to find alternative forms of creating wealth. Forget about jobs. Forget about jobs. All that. I'm looking for a job. You know, jobs are not hidden under a rock. No one's buried a rock in the backyard. You don't find a job. You create a job. You're the one that creates a job, not the government and not manufacturing. You yourself create a job. And that's the important thing. Folks, I think that's about it for tonight. This morning, I appreciate those listening in. I do implore you, please send me your comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com. I enjoy this broadcast. I enjoy ranting. I hope I didn't rant too long and I was too... there's too little substantive stuff in this broadcast. And please let me know if you think I should continue or whether or not, I should call it in, because there's a lot better programs on the internet. And, I'm a bad choice. I just be honest. All right. I sincerely would appreciate that. Gotta be careful what I say. That was kind of loud. See, that's what I'm the guy controlling everything here. That's not good. I'm usually not in control. I'll tell you a story. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. Ranch Acres Audiology is a family hearing practice at 3227 East 31st Street in Tulsa. They may be reached at 918-749-7711. Call them for your hearing needs. You'll be glad you did. Folks, you can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated. Your life is in your own hands. But with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government is like training wheels. They control the ride and your every move. Talk about motorcycles. My wife put an order in for a Russian Euro motorcycle with a sidecar so she can take her doggies for a ride. Ha ha! Can't wait. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, "Don't steal. The government hates competition." With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.